Hello, everybody. I'm continuing to work through my blog on 2 Corinthians, and the title of this one is Struck Down But Not Destroyed. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 12, where Paul wrote these words: "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." I have spoken with many people over the years who are living with terminal illnesses, including some in my own family. One lasting memory was my father, who at the end of his life was living with leukemia. I remember the constant and continual blood transfusions, the ebbing away of his physical strength. Those memories, I carry them as if it was yesterday. I can remember washing him and shaving him and thinking that he once washed me. Yet, the one thing that I noticed about my dad is that his faith always remained quietly strong. I would have described him in those latter stages of his life like Paul described someone here, or even himself, where he says he was afflicted in every way but not crushed. Being that I've been going through 2 Corinthians, another description would be that his faith, my dad's faith, is the same as those verses previously in 2 Corinthians where Paul describes as treasure in a jar of clay. My dad's treasure was actually in a jar that was very broken. It's striking, is it not, how differently Christians react to suffering and hardship. And as I get older, I'm increasingly convinced that how one responds to trials and afflictions is perhaps the most accurate monitor of our maturity in Christ. I've seen some that just deny that trials really exist. They ignore them. I don't know, maybe it's because they can't acknowledge weakness, or perhaps even the fear of the circumstances that they are in grips them. Maybe they just lack faith or belief. I don't know. I've seen that some have just collapsed under the weight of it all. Maybe they have felt that God has just abandoned them, left them. You see some that come out fighting, they see trials as demonic attacks, as Satan. And some that view trials just like Paul did, they will not let them get in their way of their relationship with Jesus. There are four statements in this passage that Paul makes which are so helpful and encouraging about this treasure being in a very fragile jar of clay. But before we get to them, I want to look at a couple of things first. There's a little bit of poetry in these statements. Each statement is a pair, an illustration of human frailty and a God-given strength to cope with that frailty. Paul's point is that to be at the end of man's resources is not to be at the end of God's resources. It is God breaking through, meeting us, meeting the dilemma of humanity. But also we can see the nature of these trials. Paul uses terms like in every way or always, meaning in Paul's mind that these trials don't appear to diminish or disappear in this life. In fact, what Paul leads us to is that what we are looking at mirrors that of Christ and his death and his resurrection. So let's look at these four statements of the Christian experience. Paul was afflicted but not crushed, verse 8. The word afflicted is broad, it's all encompassing. It includes things like physical stuff, spiritual stuff, psychological stuff. And I guess there are a million and one ways of which those things can be manifest. And the issue here that Paul never felt crushed, he never felt confined by or restricted by it, because the hope that he had in God was bigger than the event itself. For him, God was bigger. God was greater. He was perplexed, but not driven to despair, verse 8. Or as one commentator put it, at a loss, but not completely. Meaning often there is no explanation or answer that would account for what is going on in my life or your life. God always has a reason for permitting or even orchestrating such suffering, although we may have to wait until we get to heaven to discover it. The issue is always this, that even though I don't understand, I still believe that God is on the throne, ruling and reigning and in control. Next, he was persecuted, but not forsaken, verse 9. Paul means being persecuted by men, but never abandoned by God. Isn't that incredibly reassuring? He also means their abuse is no measure compared with the affection that God brings to him. That God's love for him was greater than the persecution he was receiving. And lastly, the title of this blog, he was struck down but not destroyed. Or as William Barclay in his commentary put it, knocked down but not knocked out. Isn't that wonderful? That we can be knocked down, but we will never be knocked out. That God has us in those everlasting arms and he will not let us go. Each of these pairs of words are designed to illustrate two things. Paul's frailty, my frailty, your frailty as a jar of clay, and his absolute dependence on the excellence and abundance and supply of God's power, ability, and help. I am like this, but God is like this. I was reading recently on the internet from Billy Graham's Ministries magazine. You can read it online. I've completely forgotten the magazine title. It's just gone out of my mind. And there was an article in it, or a letter in it, that I want to finish this blog by reading to you. I'm not sure who the person was. They were just writing in, because you only get the initials. It's just PT or DR or whatever. So I don't know who this person is. But I was thinking about this passage and read this. I thought, this is incredible. Let me read it to you. It says, for a long time, I have had been bitter about life. It seemed to have dealt me a dirty blow. For since I was 12 years old, I have been waiting for death to close in on me. It was at the time I learned I had muscular dystrophy. I fought hard against this disease and exercised hard, but to no avail. I only grew weaker. All I could see was that I had what I had missed. My friends went away to college. Then I got married. Then they got married, sorry. And then they started having families of their own. And when I lay in bed at night thinking, despair would creep in from the dark corners and haunt me. It told me that my life was meaningless. In March of last year, my mother brought home from our public library Billy Graham's book World Aflame. I started reading it. As I read, I realised that I wanted God. I wanted there to be a meaning to my life. I wanted to receive this deep faith and peace. All I know is that now my life has changed, and I now have the joy that comes with living. No longer is the universe chaotic. No longer does life have no goal. No longer is there no hope. There is instead God, who loved the world and gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You know, I continue to grow weaker. I'm close to being totally helpless, and I'm in pain most of the time. But sometimes I am so glad that I am alive that it's hard to keep myself from bursting at the seams. I can see for the first time the beauty that is all around me, and I realise how lucky I am. Despair is such a waste of time when there is joy, and lack of faith is such a waste of time when there is God. Out of the midst of pain, pressure, heartaches, and the perplexities that life brings, there is a joy, an eternal joy, a strength, an eternal strength, a faith, and a love that makes it clear where this power is not coming from and where this power is coming from. My prayer is that God would help us to live in the knowledge that our God is with us. God bless you.